Hello, this is John Galloway.
And this is Jesse Liberty.
And this is the Full Stack Videocast, a pair programming experiment where we build out a full working application spanning from server to web and phone and everything else in between while you watch.
John!
Hello! Yes! Long time no talk.
It has been.
So we had last looked at setting up the MVVM and test-driven development, kind of reboot stuff on the phone. And so I rashly said, hey, this will be no problem. We've got a repository in place. Let's hook it up to use our old proxy and call back to the server, and it'll just magically work.
That's the theory.
And you called my bluff and said, fine, you're so smart, you try it.
That's my theory.
So I'm going to try it. So what I was thinking, I'll kind of talk through the battle plan here, is that we already have this fake, or we have a person repository interface that we extracted from our fake repository. And it has all this delete, exists, get all, that kind of thing. And so I want to create a person repository, and it's going to implement all these methods by calling through our proxy back to the server. So
right.
Okay, so the steps that I thought we would do, one is we can grab that old proxy and bring it in. So I've got our old application here, and we've got this contact service.
Yes. That's what we created out at the command line out of the utility program.
Right.
That, against the server.
And I think we have, where is it, somewhere in here, I think we even made like a comment or something that said where to get it or whatever. But and we also will potentially need, we've got this navigation, or I guess that was about it. Oh, we'll just call
that was it.
Yeah. Okay. So we'll need to reference what we did before. So we can go in here, and what I was thinking is I can open containing folder, I think. I should be able to. Here it is. Open containing folder. I can copy that. And then I can go into... So we've got our old project is just in an archive. And people that are big into source control are going to think we're idiots, but that just seems simple. So here we've...
A lot simpler when you need them side by side.
Right, right. So here we've got, who is that phone? And then I think that's where, if we look at our...
Yeah, who is that phone is the right directory.
Okay. So somewhere into here we want to put that, I guess we could put it into app services. And I'm not sure what makes sense to you. Do you think just right in the root of app services or...
I think in the root of app services is fine.
Okay.
As long as it's in a known location, it has a unique role to play. That seems fine.
Okay, so I will use this again. I'll do this open containing folder. I'll go up to app services. I'll paste that in. So there's our contact service, and then in app services here, I'll do show, and we'll do include in project. So there we go. Now, we'll probably want to change around namespace, I guess. We've got who is at server.models. That's what was generated on the...
I don't see how you can change that because we're still using that server.
Yeah, okay. Fair enough. So we do need to bring in some references here. And I think we had... This is going to be fun. What I think I'll do is add reference, and then I'll kind of search around for them and... I forget where they were. I believe what I can do is I can browse.
What are you looking for references to?
Those old binaries that we used. See, we've already forgotten this. It was inside. As soon as I see them, I'm going to know them. Is this data services, client, and design? Do you remember those? Those were part of the...
Like a div member.
Yeah, it was the OData server or the OData client components. So I think I can add those in. And this dialogue kind of freaks me out a little bit because I say add, and then it's kind of hanging out. I'm like,
right.
Did you do it?
You did it.
But yeah, so we're
if you did it, close. And if you didn't do it, why are you still here?
Right.
Well, wait.
Okay, so I built, and at least nothing's exploded yet. So now what I think we want to do is we want to add into this repository class, we want to add a new class. I should memorize. I'm on this kick of memorizing keyboard shortcuts. This might be a good one. Shift-Alt-C. Who knows? I probably won't. Okay, so we'll call this Person Repository. And what do you think? Is Person Repository good? Or I almost wonder if it should be like server, you know, that or proxied, or I guess I can rename it. I'm talking to myself. Never mind me. Okay. So now we want to implement iPerson repository. I'll do explicitly. And so now we've just got to go through and do all this stuff. So
now, before you go any further, which of these calls would be the call for searching within the repository?
Maybe we don't have that yet. I'm not, you know, it depends if we're doing client-side searching or server-side searching.
Yes, and come to think of it, that's a good point. I believe what we did discover was that we had the complete set client-side, and we were doing the searching client-side.
I think that, you know, we went back and forth, and that there were some, you know, to me, the obvious thing is you'd want to do your searches on the server for performance, but then, you know, like you were saying, if you're on and offline, and we're expecting that people, you know, I may have 100, 200 people on here max. It's almost easier to just say get everybody and just keep that collection locally. So,
at least as a first,
yeah, first cut. Run, huh?
When we run into people who say, you know, I'd like to put in 2,000-4,000 people at a conference, then we will respond to them appropriately with get a life.
That's great. Why don't you get another application that has that advanced? Or we can sell. This is Jesse. This is how we're going to retire. We're going to have that advanced feature server side.
There you go.
Okay.
Excellent.
So now I believe we had one of these views somewhere in here. We had a search result, descriptors view. Can you tell me what any of this stuff is?
Sure, I can tell you what all of that stuff is. The descriptors view is the place where you put in a new contact, and the search results is the list that you get back after you have put in some criteria and said, go and find everybody who matches this. And that's got a list box with all the names, and then you can select one and see the details on top.
Okay. So
if you go to Descriptors View, that's a panorama.
Yep.
And the third panel in that panorama has both the save and the search button on it.
Can you educate me on this? How do I, in this, so I want to do this kind
Tell
of
me
thing.
What you want to do.
If I want to browse within a panorama.
Yes, what you do is you click into the pseudo next page, and that will advance it for you. Just click right there.
I'm trying.
Well, then click right there.
Aha.
Okay, much better.
That's the last time I trust you. Okay, so what I'm trying to think about.
The other thing that you did, by the way, is if you'll double click on a view, this is worth pointing out to you and else who might care. If you double click on the view, when you want to see just the view, instead of closing it the way you did here, go ahead and split that again.
Okay. It's thinking hard. And action. Okay.
Okay. Now, if you use this.
Aha, I saw it right before.
That's going to allow you to close that, and then this allows you to switch them. This up here allows you to switch them.
Got it.
And now if you want to go back, instead of having to drag and place it, well, you could, but it's easier to just push the divider key, and that's going to split it horizontally or vertically for you.
Great.
And someone's going to close it for you.
Okay. So I'm thinking that we have a few things we could try. One is we could, brute force drag in, bring over these views and try and hook them up with view models and stuff. I'm almost kind of feeling like the simplest approach is that we just have a dumb view on the or to our existing in our new app that maybe in our main page we just do a get all. Or you know what I mean, and just do a message box that shows, yeah, here's your contacts.
Well, that's fine. I think the first step is the save, right? Because the order that you usually use this thing in is that you go in and you put in some criteria in the person's name and you click save.
You're right.
And so the first thing I would have it do is have it go through into the repository, say save, and have the repository write that up to the server.
Okay. So
And then we can look on the server and see if it's there.
when we did that on this descriptors view, I'm sure there's a save button or something in here.
Yes, on the third panel, right, there is a save button. Dot click, and there,
Okay. Whoops.
and that was the code I assumed. This code starting on line 67 was the code I assumed that you were going to migrate over to the implementation of the repository.
Right. So I'm obviously going to cut that long pause out. So I'm wondering, this call save button click, this does begin save changes on the context. And so we've got a context that we declared way up here, and that's held by. So I could say I could copy this in. And this is going to be interesting to figure out how a repository is normally kind of a stateless pattern. And so I'm not sure on this, if we have to new it up every time. I guess we'll just kind of figure out what makes sense. Here I'll try that when we say, okay. So then in order to use it, if I do control minus to navigate back, and I'll just try begin save changes, and I'm going to clear out some of that stuff that's user interface related. So I can just say begin save changes options, and that's. And then I don't think I want a callback.
Well, we didn't have a callback, and we added it because of timing. We wanted to make sure that we didn't load the result until this completed.
You know, it's
And that's why we broke it out into load people.
another difficulty here is that our save changes requires a, or is we're expecting save changes to return an int result. And since it's an asynchronous call, that's going to be kind of interesting because that's kind of a synchronous, right? That works fine if it's a
Well,
synchronous save.
go back to the original, to the archive, and look at load people, because that's what gets called. Originally, what's in load people was in this same method, and we broke it out
Load people.
to ensure that it happened only after. And so we go and get the collection. And then we call load async. This gets curiouser and curiouser. Can you slide over and see, do we pass a callback for that, or is it, or we just, no, we assume that load async, when it completes, is going to have loaded everybody into that collection.
Right, so this all is assuming kind of a stateful things are held by the form, and I'm wondering if the repository is going to be difficult to map to that because a repository is kind of simple methods where you call save or get all, and making that work in a non-asynchronous way is a little funky. I almost
In a
wonder.
non-asynchronous, or making it work in an asynchronous way?
Asynchronous, sorry. Well, making asynchronous calls work in a s within this kind of synchronous repository pattern. Mm-hmm. I almost wonder if we should be using reactive extension for this.
Well, it would certainly simplify a lot of the timing, but it would get us into trying to make this work. Then we'd be trying to work the repository, the saving to the server, and reactive extensions. And
it's a lot of changes at once, huh?
Yeah, that might be the right model we want to end up with. It worries me a bit in terms of, well, what's broken? Mm-hmm. what just broke?
Well, so what do you think? I mean, do we have a blocking thing here? Do we change our model so that save doesn't return an integer anymore?
Well, I don't think save could possibly return an integer if we're going to make an async callback. I think it would have to block, or which you can't do on the phone, I'm at a loss because the begin save changes is clearly looking to be asynchronous.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not going to have the person. What the int that you're returning is the ID of the person, correct?
Right.
And do we even have that int before?
We don't.
Because
we're assuming that it's going to say, you know, the idea is that's kind of our confirmation that it saved as well. So when something's saved, the database is assigning the ID and we're getting that back.
I don't see then that you could do it this way. What you could do, of course, is we could have the repository write to local storage. We could create, using Sterling or something like it, we could create a local database.
Mm-hmm.
That would eliminate the whole question of are you online or offline. Once we got that working, then we could have a background thread that keeps that synchronized with a upstream database.
And we talked about doing that as kind of like a version 2, but this does make you think, you know, maybe that's something we should do earlier and continue working away saving locally.
I mean, arguably, you could have version 1 be entirely local, and in version 2, we connect it up to the server. Or version 1A.
But then I would think you've been wasting my time with all this WCF, MVC.
No, because ultimately we clearly want it to be up on the server.
Yeah.
We want to have authentication up on the server, and we want to be able to have other clients talking to that same information and so on.
Sure.
But purely in terms of getting the phone part to work, it could work in isolation.
Okay, so if we were to do that, you know, that's, we've talked about this before offline. The two of us have gone through this, and we thought, you know, it really wouldn't be that tricky to just have a sync thread. However, the one difference is we'd need to go from integer IDs to GUIDs, or we'd need to think about that at least. If we assign everything locally, I guess if it's all assigned on the phone.
Oh, you're saying how do we ensure when we do the synchronization to the server that we know that we have the right records?
Yeah, that the IDs.
But as long as the IDs are unique within an individual user's set,
mm-hmm.
and each user has a unique ID, then the uniqueness of a given record could be the user ID prepended to the record ID.
Yeah. Or a composite key or something like that.
Or a composite key, absolutely.
Or, you know, that you have the meaningless server-side ID, which is assigned, but the ID here that we're tracking is the local ID, you know.
Right. Exactly, and what differentiates one local ID from another is this composite key of the server's ID for the owner,
mm-hmm.
and all the IDs that we assign to each person.
Okay, how easy is it going to be for me to... I'm going to pause here on the, I guess on both, just because I'm wondering.
Well, now you're in a whole different world. If you really want to go this way, then we have to figure out.
Okay, we're recording again.
Okay.
Okay, but it looks like we've got a problem, right? Because our original save in the repository pattern assumes it's a layer on top of something that's synchronous. So we call into save, and we get back an integer ID. And in this case, the original operation works the way Silverlight does, where it's an asynchronous call. So it's
right.
Assuming...
And that's a mismatch. That I don't want to lose what we have in the asynchronous save. That works,
mm-hmm.
but I'm not sure we're ready to go directly from the repository to that.
And if we look, you know, our long-term plan was that we were going to shift to having a local repository or a local database running either isolated storage or Sterling, and then, you know, synchronizing to the server.
Right.
And so...
Right. And, yeah. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but in fact, if you look at what we're doing in search, if you go to the search button...
On the
search
old one?
Click on, right, on the archived one.
Yeah.
We're actually working right here. If you look at the top, we're not working off the server. We're working off a local copy in memory.
That's right. It's a data service collection, but it's something that we queried when the form loaded, I believe.
Correct. And we query again after we come back from the asynchronous. So if we actually took it out of being a data service collection and just made it a collection of person objects.
Yep.
And held off on the server temporarily.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so the idea then is that we get where we were planning to go faster anyways, but we work off of a local collection that's held by the application and then...
In memory, say.
In memory. And then
right.
Step two to that is that we add in, you know, we make the local in-memory collection backed by a database that's running on the phone. And then
right.
Phase three is that we synchronize that over to the server, but do that as a background process.
And do that one asynchronously and conceivably at that point bring in reactive extensions to handle the asynchronicity.
Okay. And the benefit there is that this all works offline, which you'd expect with a phone application. It's a remote application. You may want to look somebody up on, you know, an airplane, or you don't have, you know, coverage and you're not connected and you still want to be able to use your app. So
and we get it working and keep it working as we go.
Okay.
I like that a lot.
Okay, so we're going to want a backing data store, which is our in-memory, and what we had before in our fake person repository actually looks pretty good. This is just a dictionary of people. And so here we just nude it up at the repository level. And, you know, it's almost tempting to do that, but I think what we would make more sense is if we have this in application level, static. Sound good?
By making it static, we can access it through just using app.people.
Yep.
That makes a lot of sense.
Okay.
And
so
in that case, we're going to want to new it up in the constructor and create a public property for it.
Yep. Okay, so we'll do that. And this is kind of, you know, this isn't where the code is going to end up, but this is something where we're moving in the direction we think. So here if I do... people, and I make this public, static, and then throw getters and setters on here. Take away that. So this should at least, now we need to go into here, we want to change that to people. And then we can go back into our person repository, and I think we can just copy the save.
Yep.
We can copy that in. Okay, and so now we need to add in a...
Everywhere you have people, you're going to need to change it to app.capitalPeople.
Yep. Okay, so change that to app dot.
So I have to raise a question that'll make you crazy, which is, I was all for putting it in app.xaml because we want access to it. But if all of the access to the collection is through the repository,
mm-hmm.
then it could be private in the repository.
You know, I was just thinking the same thing. Should we try that?
I think we should, because if it can be private in the repository, that's a lot less ugly than having this big...
You know, it sure worked static. In the fake, right? Let me... Okay, so I'm taking that out of there, going back in here, and we'll escape out of that, and we'll go into this. Okay, so we'll just throw this here.
Yeah, and now the only question, so now, well, let me let you fix that up.
Yeah.
The only question is, if that's going to be, can you mark it explicitly private, by the way?
Mark it explicitly private, yes.
It's implicitly private at the moment. And
that bothers you.
Well, a little. so, yeah, well, now we can leave it in the casing that it's in, and we don't need to access it through.
I do need to figure out, though. Here, we've got it. It's using dot server. Who is that server dot models? And we want to get rid of using that, and we want to use
right.
Who is that WinPhone dot model?
Yep.
Now that should all be on.
Definition of the person, yep.
Yep. Okay, so now we've got save, and so this actually...
That's great. That's much better.
This could go pretty quick then. I mean, we can use a lot of things that we wrote in our fake that we thought we were going to throw away. It is an in-memory data store. It's still, I think, good to keep that as a separate fake, you know, for testing, but so we can just...
Right, because we're not going to keep this as an in-memory store on the real one.
Mm-hmm.
Fake one will be, because that's just for testing. The real one... will start writing to the local persistence.
Right. How crazy would it make you if I copied the entire contents just to see what goes wrong? And this class looks exactly like the fake. And then I fix my ending bracket. This could all work, right?
It could. You can go ahead and make that mark that explicitly private again. Satisfy my OCD.
Okay.
I just think it's better practice, but
sure.
It's not a deal.
That makes sense. So now our main view model could start binding into some of that. Or excuse me, not our main view model, but our view models could start using that repository.
Yes. Do we still need contactService.cs in the project?
We don't at this point, although we're going to need it later, I believe, because we're going to, I mean, I can exclude it for the time.
Yeah, why don't we exclude it but not delete it?
Yep.
Just to make sure that we don't have any name conflicts or that
sure.
You think something means one thing and it means the other.
Right. So, but we will need it for that background synchronization service.
Absolutely.
So now I think we could start using our we could set up a view model, and our view models could start doing, you know, create contact, call save. And so, like, for instance, when it's the save command,
you want to look for the save.
Save contact.
Let's try that.
So here, save contact could call into, this is on the view model, and it could talk to the repository. I guess we'd want a local instance of the repository. So, is it correct?
Well, that's an interesting question. Is that what we want, is a local instance of the repository, or is there one repository, or are you instantiated every time you need to use it?
What I normally see, I've seen different ways of using this. One idea with using a repository is that it's you You know, I'm not sure.
No, I'm sorry. It has to be that there's only one repository, because if you save a new contact into that repository,
you're right,
and then you search to find it, it better be in that same repository.
You're right. So this repository almost should be at the application level.
All I think we need is to go to the repository and make a public property on it, and then, well, that's true. The instance
could be a static class, or it could be held by the app. Or I thought Laurent had told me something with MVVM Lite too, that there's with the locator service that there's kind of a, you know, that you can, there's kind of a God view model that can hold other application level things.
Hmm. Okay.
If we look,
why don't we just make a, I know we're back where we were before with the dictionary, but why don't we make a person repository at the application level?
Sure.
And then just give that a public property and public static property, and we can always get to the same repository.
Easy enough. Okay, so I'll say I'll do this the right way this time. So I'll do a private, and then I'll do a getter.
Are you going to use a backing variable?
What do you think I ought to do?
I think you can get away with just saying public static repository, person repository, and call it
something like that.
Sure, that's a lot. It's going to be a lot for us to type. We could make it PR, but that's all right. Leave it the way it is.
Okay.
And get set. And now we're going to need to initialize that, right?
Yep.
In the application constructor, so that it exists for the life of the application.
Yep. Okay.
And I think you need an include.
Right. Okay. So I'll just say equals new and
friends.
Whoop. Right.
So much easier to see this stuff when you're not the person typing.
Yes. Okay, so now in our view model, we could say it's doing the save client. We could actually have it say app.personRepository. Ooh, that should be uppercase. Yep. Is that okay if I make that uppercase?
I would prefer it.
Good.
But you have a problem because now your type and your instance are the same casing of the same word.
How about if I just call it repository?
I think that's better, but with an uppercase R.
See, I'll make the same mistake again and again.
And then go down to before you leave to the constructor. Oh, it did.
Ah, because I did that control.
I'm
dot.
Impressed.
Okay, so now I can say app dot repository dot
go.
Save.
And, bingo.
And now it needs that contact, and is that held by this form? It's underscore contact, I believe, right?
Yes, I believe that's right. Yep.
Okay, so.
You can get rid of the message box.
Okay.
That was just a placeholder to say what's supposed to happen when you push the button. Now, this save is going to get back a value, right? Doesn't that return the ID?
It does.
And so don't we do a test and then some sort of indication to the user that it was saved or not? So we could use a message box for that.
Yeah.
We could have it come back and say, if it's greater than zero, the message box could say, your contact was saved with contact ID, whatever you get back.
Yeah. Now, what is this supposed to, I didn't pay attention here. What is this supposed to return? It's public object because it's a relay command. Does it matter what we return?
I'm looking at, it's a relay command. I see. No, I think in this case, if I'm right, in this case, we're fine returning null.
Okay. So I should do a test here. Oops. KD.
I think you could say var id equal
okay.
that save. And then you can do if ID greater than 0.
Yeah.
And now do system.messagebox.show. Okay, it's not system.messagebox. I can never remember what it is. It's system.windows.messagebox. Thank you. Dot show. And we can say saved with ID.
Does it do this? No. I'd have to do a string.format. Trust me.
But why not just do a plus sign?
I don't know. Good enough?
Good enough. And then else, and we have to decide what to do in the error case. So
how about a message box for now? Just
yes,
giving
good,
sad tidings. Because
I really don't want to throw an exception at the moment.
I'm going to do this. Just because I'm guessing that it'll make you crazy.
How did you know?
Did not save. Okay. I'll do it like that. Okay. So there we've got a save. Now, I guess that's all we need to do in create. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think so.
So should I run it?
Yeah, I think not only can you run it, but that we should be able to wire up search pretty quickly. But go ahead, yeah, run it.
Okay. You know, I've never used these before.
Oh, you know what they do?
They just flip
it. They change
it, huh?
You from, yeah, they change you to
okay.
The orientation. Although I don't believe you can change the orientation.
Eddie.
Haskell?
Should have done that. And save?
Yes, sir.
Save with ID1.
Hey, excellent. Now save somebody else, and let's see if we get ID2.
All right. Always pushing your luck.
Always. Besides, I wanted to give you another shot at Eddie Haskell.
Right. All right, Eddie Haskell, save. Ooh!
Not so good.
We shouldn't have pressed our luck. Let's see what happened.
Not nearly as good.
Let's go into here.
Anyway, click OK and see if it does a second message box.
Okay.
Or just one message box. Yep, okay. All right.
So let's take a look here and see what happens when we call in to save. My guess is that it is not persistent. That when it news up the repository.
If person ID equals 0, person ID equal person count plus 1, it's 1. Person add, people add. Now what's that people there? Is that the right? Yeah, that's the dictionary.
Does that need to be static? Or no, this is held.
By... No, because it's all local.
Yeah.
And we only have one repository that we're using, right? And are we doing this through the one repository?
Yeah.
We're not instantiating repository.
When we call into its app.repository.save. So let's try and run it and see what happens. Save.
What, did you put a breakpoint?
I did.
I think not, sir.
Okay, so now if I go here, and this is what is in... Okay, so if I look at people, what is the contents? Count is 1. So now when I step into this, okay. And we're back.
Okay. So are you recording now or not?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
So now to continue, I need to do step over, and I would... I'm going to show, I guess I'll turn that on, that debug. Where is it?
There you go.
Okay. So I'm using step over instead of F10 because that has bad results on my recording program. Okay, so we're already assigning an ID of 1 somewhere. You know what I think?
Wait, hold on.
I've got this.
Oh. Okay, good.
What happened is we're not newing up the person each time. So that,
Bingo.
Yeah. So create contact view model after save needs to, after a successful save, needs to set contact equal initialize new contact.
Yep.
Okay.
No. It also has to do contact equal new person and then initialize new contact.
Okay. Now,
you would think that would be one thing.
Now, this is something where we should test that, correct? Like, one of the reasons we're using MVVM is so that we can test our view models. This seems like something where we would want to create a view model test that says, after saving, contact ID is reset or something. Do you agree?
I do agree. We're going against the real repository here, so, but you're right, that would be a unit test that we would want to make against, we're in the view model here.
We're in the view model. Now, that does bring up the thing, though, that our view model's repository access should not be going against us, an instance. It should be using an interface. And we probably want to use dependency injection or something to set that up.
Right, but that we could hold. We should create a test on this view model. Do we have tests for this view model?
We don't.
We do. We have.
I don't think so.
We don't have tests?
Create contact view model tests.
Yes. And so we could and should create a test for exactly what you just said.
Okay, so let's do that. Test.
You want to do that now? Okay.
I'll at least write the test.
Yeah,
test.
Oh, that's fine.
Okay, so this says save, initialize, or...
should.
It should initialize new contact, right?
Create and initialize new contact. Unless we want to combine them, is there a reason they're separate?
I don't know. Because the previous test only... No, I just, okay, should create new contact is fine. Okay, so now we say viewmodel.save. We'll just say, can I call save without, is there
a... No, you're gonna need to create a person, save it, and then examine the contact.
Okay.
We're going to need to create the... Do we create the view model in the setup?
We do.
New view model. Okay. And when you make a new view model, I believe, check me on this, that we do create a new person at that
we
point.
We do. Yeah.
So we should be able to say to the view model... Now, do we have access to the private members of the view model from the test?
We have properties in the view model. So I could say, I think, viewmodel.firstname equals, person. And then I say viewmodel.save.
Yep.
Save contact. And then I call... now I want to verify that viewmodel.id should be 0.
Viewmodel.contact.id, but do you have access to that?
I don't think so.
I don't think we've made a public property on the contact, which maybe we should, if only for testing purposes, and maybe we want it anyway.
Sure. If I do, so go to definition. So we don't have person ID or contact ID?
No.
So I could create new property.
Right. Why don't you make a public property called ID and like all the others, return the contact's ID.
Okay. So just I can copy this and rename it.
Right. Exactly.
So just ID.
Yep.
And I don't know if we want to allow setting the ID.
No, we don't.
Okay.
So I would just remove that.
And
you don't have to, and you don't have to leave it empty. You could just take it out.
And
it's not automatic.
You're right. And so this should be dot, doesn't it have a person ID?
Yeah.
And I'm going to, yeah.
You want to make it person ID?
Sure. Okay. So now, and this should be an int. Okay. Good enough. So now in our test, I'm going to verify dot person ID dot should.
Paren paren dot B.
Yeah. B, and then I forget what it should. What is it a zero?
Oh, yeah, it should be a zero, but I'm not sure you can use B that way. Maybe you can. Does B take parens or? Or do you say should and then just have use the equals zero?
Yeah, or I don't have to use fluent.
I think
all the
B
time.
Is for null.
Yeah.
But I think B is for null anyway. I think if you say should open paren equals zero.
Should open paren.
Yeah.
I can do like this. You know what I'm thinking is I should say dot should be in range or should be should equal.
There you go.
And I would expect it to equal zero.
Yeah. That's what we wanted to equal. Now, before you run that test, can you go back to the view model?
Yep.
And look at the create new person.
Mm-hmm.
Create contact, I think it's called.
This
what
one
is
here?
It called?
Create contact view model?
Initialize
new contact.
No, it's not initialize new contact. It's the thing that's called. Go to the constructor, and that'll show up what. Okay, contact equal new person.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, fine. When you make a new person is and then you initialize, does one of those two things set it to zero?
I don't think so.
Well, go. Okay.
Person ID, it's just an int. It's not nullable. But,
therefore, it's got to be initial. It's got to be automatic to zero. But go to initialize new contact, and let's see if we explicitly we don't.
Should I set it?
I would. I think it is doing it anyway because it's an int, and therefore it's automatic to zero, but I think it's much better to explicitly set it here.
I agree. Okay. So now we've got a test that shows what we expect, and I think I can say run.
You got to set the testing to true in main.java.cs.
You're right. Okay. And I'm not sure if we need to go through all that now. Do you want me to?
No, not if you. I mean, it's fine. You wrote the test if you want to test it, but if not, then just move on to going and fixing it because right now I don't think we're calling those two.
I guess if we're going to do the things the right way here, let's go. So we're.
Try not to sigh. So yeah. go to all the way to. You're in the wrong file. Go to main.xaml.cs.
Ah, you're right. And that's in view?
No, it's just in nothing. It's just out.
Main page.
There you are.
Run unit tests, and I want to say true.
Yep.
And I think we left something halfway done at some point that's going to cause us to blow up.
Oh, I don't think it's going to cause it to blow up, but I think it's going to fail. I don't think we actually do initialize a new person.
Right. Two, one. So I'm going to run that. Okay, the assert failed as we expect.
Right, actual is one. Now we should be able to go back into that code, and after we do the save, we should call underbar contact equal new person initialize.
Right.
Whatever.
So if ID is greater than zero, there's so after okay. saving.
So I got to interrupt you. You see these two lines on 224, 225?
Yeah.
these two lines, I think they need to be factored out into a single call.
Yeah.
Or else, just move contact equal new person to the top of initialize new contact.
I was thinking the same, actually. Right? I know it sounds like a lie, but I had at the same time thought of the same thing. Okay, so, boom, right?
Well, it looks funky from here. Oh, yes.
Okay.
Exactly right.
Okay, so now there's that, and so now into here, I think when we save, if ID is greater than zero...
Oh, look, if you had those braces...
Yes. Okay, do I want them in both cases? If the person's ID is... equal to zero,
or yeah, you want it. Well, wait a minute. If you do it in the second case, then you're going to lose
the fact that you're right. You're right. Yep. So we only want to do that in the first case. So I'll say ID, or we want to say initialize.
Initialize new. Yeah, new contact. Okay. Exactly. Now the second case right now we're just showing a message box, but clearly that needs an exception.
Right. Should we throw?
I don't understand any circumstance where that's not an exception.
Okay.
Because it should always save.
It's in the view model, though. I'm not sure if you want to throw an exception in your view model. Maybe you do.
Well, we could, I don't see why not.
Okay.
It's not view specific. I don't see why not.
Throw new, what kind of system dot something?
Well, we probably at some point will want to make a subtype of exception, but why don't we just throw a generic exception and put a message in?
All right, and just, I'm going to stop messing with you now, and I'll put this in. Just a minute.
I appreciate it.
Okay, so now we should be able to run our test, see it pass.
Lift off.
Okay, I'm going to clear that. Whoop. Okay.
Yes.
Good.
I'm impressed.
Okay, so we're actually doing a little bit of TDD despite ourselves. Okay. And so now I'm going to switch this back so that we're no longer running test. We'll run the app and we'll just verify from the UI that we're seeing what we expect as well. So I'll go through create Eddie.
Right. Now, every time you restart the application, at the moment, we're starting clean.
Right, because we are in memory. So, Eddie. I keep thinking tab's going to work.
And
I keep being wrong.
Don't get me started.
Okay, so that was ID 1. Now, I could just hit save again, but here I want to do
it. Yeah, but don't do that.
Okay, and we'll go over. Good.
Yes, much better.
And we have a test, which makes me feel happy.
I would call this progress.
All right. Okay, so for this week, this is John Galloway.
And this is Jesse Liberty.
And this is the Full Stack.